You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, episode number 10. I can't wait for you guys to hear this episode where I speak with Daisy Gillespie. This woman is a rock star, and she is going to touch on so many problem areas that you might be having with your closet. She shares about the importance of defining your personal style, accepting where you are, and letting go of guilt.
You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, where we understand that needing less helps us to be so much more. Entrepreneur and sustainability advocate Meg Ross will help you to break down how to create more space in your life. Get ready to hear from strong women who are redefining what living well looks like. If you've dreamed of being present, cutting the clutter, and putting an end to the busyness, this is the place to be. Here's your host, designer, motivator, and simplicity enthusiast, Meg Ross.
Hello, Simply listeners. On with us today is Daisy Gillespie. Daisy is a minimalist personal stylist who encourages mindful consumption. She is a lady who speaks her own truth bravely and honestly, and she is helping other women to do just that for themselves so that they can live out their best lives. Thank you for spending time with us today, Daisy.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
So to get started, can you share a little bit about yourself and your path to starting the Mindful Closet and really what the Mindful Closet is?
Sure, absolutely. So Mindful Closet is the name of my personal styling business. And what I do through that business is help people work through the overwhelm that they're experiencing with their closets so that they can get to a place where they feel good in their clothes. And I encourage a mindset shift from thinking we need more options to shopping mindfully and building a wardrobe that functions better with less. And it was a pretty long path to get here. I started my business when I was about 35. Before that, I spent most of my life in the classical music world. I was trained as a classical musician from a pretty young age, went to music school, got a master's in music performance, and performed in orchestras for most of my kind of young adult life. And then I started shifting into arts administration, so working for orchestras on the administrative side. But I really had been struggling, honestly, with anxiety and depression for a lot of that time. And, you know, finally came to understand that perhaps those fields were not a good match with my temperament and my personality. I am prone to anxiety. I am highly sensitive. And so those super stressful competitive environments were just not healthy for me. So that was really the impetus for me to start my own business. And when I decided to start my own business, I wanted something that would allow me to have the lifestyle that I wanted, which was a slower paced life. You know, no huge stressors on me that would affect a ton of people if they didn't go well. And something that worked with my kind of introverted personality and that I could, you know, make my own schedule. So I, with the help of my therapist at the time, actually thought about things that people had always asked me for help with. And one thing that people had always asked me for help with, and which I had always loved, was fashion. And so, you know, I was that person that would come over and help you clean out your closet. I would go shopping with you and help you pick out, you know, an outfit for an event you needed something special for. And I did that for friends and family, just kind of all my life. And when I realized that that was actually a field that people would pay you for, I thought, okay, this could work. So I basically started a blog and started blogging about helping people do that. And then launched my business, and I have a super supportive husband, luckily. And we just kind of decided I'd try it for a year and see how it went. And, it went well. So this is 5 years later, and, that's what I do.
That's such a great story. I love the path that you took and how kind of just how much reflection and really self-honesty you had to face, but then to get you to a point that really made you a lot happier where you are today. I just love the progression of all of that.
Thanks. Yeah, I think it's really important for people to remember, especially when they're in the early 20s and, well, honestly, the whole decade of their 20s, that you're still just kind of figuring yourself out and there's a lot to learn and you don't have to know exactly what you're doing right when you get out of school. So I felt like I needed that. And so I probably pushed myself into one direction more than I should have, instead of just letting myself listen to myself about what I needed as an environment and as a workplace. So yeah, I think that's really important.
I agree. And I completely feel you there with the pressures placed on young people from society that you should really have it all figured out. And I think that those are the same pressures that kind of go right in hand with a cluttered lifestyle, a too busy lifestyle. People are so busy meeting everybody else's expectations that they just don't really ever take the time to live a life that serves them.
Yeah, I feel so strongly about that. You phrased it perfectly. That's exactly true.
Well, I appreciate that. Something you phrased so perfectly that I really liked is when you spoke about three areas of your life where minimalism helps you manage. And you said your surroundings, your clothes, and your schedule. And mm-hmm. I thought that that was great and how you connected all these areas of your life into minimalism in a really easy to understand way. So I was hoping you could share a little bit about what minimalism means to you in your own lifestyle.
Sure. I think a lot of people have a misconception that minimalism means that you live in a white cube and have one chair and that it's just an aesthetic philosophy. And that's completely not true. There is an aesthetic philosophy called minimalism. But for me, the practice of minimalism is only owning or buying the things that I need or use or love. So for me, it actually stresses me out. You know, I've realized that it's okay to say this, that it makes me anxious if there's a lot of clutter around, if it's things that are not getting used or are unnecessary for my daily life. It really calms me. Gretchen Rubin, the author, often uses the phrase outer order equals inner calm. And that's completely true for me. So if my outer surroundings are in order, then I can feel calm and do what I need to do mentally, whether that's work or take care of my child or whatever it is. So that, you know, kind of, and aesthetics are really important to me. They do affect, actually, I was just reading one of your blog posts where you say that like kind of your environment really does affect how you feel. And I think that's completely true too. And I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting that. If you're a minimalist, but you still like to have beautiful art on the walls, great. You're still a minimalist. That makes you happy. You don't have to have completely bare walls to be practicing minimalism. So that's the kind of surroundings, how it applies to my surroundings. In terms of my clothes, again, it took me a really long time to realize that, hey, when I put on certain clothes and go out into the world, I feel really uncomfortable. And that makes my day harder. And if I just stick to the clothes that I know I'm comfortable in and I feel most myself in, that makes my life easier. I don't think about it all day. I don't worry all day about what I'm wearing or how people are perceiving me. And so for me, taking out anything in my closet that made me uncomfortable to wear, whether it was in style or what the color someone had told me I should be wearing, it doesn't matter. If I don't feel good in it, it goes. And so that helped me really minimize my wardrobe. And so now when I go to my closet, that's really not a thought process that I have to make. I don't have to think about whether I'm going to feel good. I know that everything that's left is going to be something I feel good in. And if by chance something comes in that doesn't make me feel good and I put that on and I feel that feeling, it's gone. And along with that, it means that there are less pieces in my closet. And that, again, kind of like the outer clutter, just makes me feel much more calm and peaceful and more able to go about my day. In terms of my schedule, this has a lot to do with, you know, being a highly sensitive person, being an introvert, you know, especially again in my 20s, I really felt like I had to pack my schedule full and be super productive. And I have realized that that makes me just beyond drained at the end of the day. I have nothing left for either myself or my husband or my family. And so I really had to start looking at building in buffer times and really making sure that I had a limit of how many things I agreed to do in one day. Or if I was going to spend some time at a party, I needed to make sure that I had some time to kind of recover from that. And again, that's a real thing. That's not someone just being, you know, kind of finicky or whatever. You know, introverts need time alone to recharge and rebuild their energy. So, you know, these are just all things that I kind of learned about myself over time and that I try and sometimes fail, but I try to incorporate into my life now.
Yes, that is all so good. And something that I really resonated with, well, I resonate with a lot of it, honestly, but somewhere that I am in my life right now is my clothing, especially. Mm-hmm. Yes. I went to school for fashion design. I've always loved fashion. I love creating. I love art. And I knew that I wanted to do that with my life. And I knew that I wanted to be on the ethical, sustainable side of the industry because I didn't want to be a part of all of the everything else that goes on with kind of the negative fast fashion pollution affecting people's lives in a negative way, you know, all those things. Mm-hmm. But the piece that I didn't really connect that ended up being so integral in where I am right now was how clothing really does play a role in people's lifestyle. You know, it's not just fashion to be beautiful art. Mm-hmm. For me, it's fashion to serve women and serve how they carry out their lifestyle. And mm-hmm. that was something that I wasn't doing in my own life. I would just, you know, buy stuff because, yeah, it was on sale. And I honestly was never someone who, my closet was never huge. I didn't even like shopping that much. I just never wanted to spend that much money. Mm-hmm. But so kind of in what happened then was I had clothes that were just like bleh, and I didn't mm-hmm. really know my style, and I didn't really love anything, and I just kind of floundered in that space. Mm-hmm. And here mm-hmm. I was designing clothes for women, and I just wasn't connecting how important my closet was and what I wore was into my own lifestyle.
Yeah, I think that's such a common mistake, and that's kind of what I spend my work time with clients helping people resolve, is that you're right. I mean, even you, like someone who thinks about clothes as their work, you weren't applying it to yourself. And I think many people have just different preconceived notions of how they should be regarding their clothing. Either they've been taught it's superficial to think about it, or they've been taught that they should wear a certain thing to look their best, and they're not really thinking about how it works for their life, their lifestyle, their style. And so that's a lot of what I spend time uncovering with people is, I work one-on-one with clients, and I do a long first session with them. And then I also have an online course called Making Space, which does the same thing. It takes people through the same process online. And a lot of that time is spent thinking about things that people don't think that they have to think about, but in the end really make a difference. And some of those things are thinking about your lifestyle and thinking about how that relates to the ratio of clothes in your closet. If you spend most of your time working at home, but you have, you know, 5 business suits in your closet, that's not correlating with what your actual lifestyle needs are. Or if you, if you're a mom, but you have a lot of dresses and you don't feel comfortable getting down on the floor in dresses, things are not lining up. So you have to actually spend some time thinking about how you spend your days and how you spend your time and what you prefer to wear for those activities. In addition to that, it's really important to define your own personal style, what you really like the look of and what you really like the feel of. And for a lot of people, this is very hard because they have been inundated their whole lives with messages from external sources saying, this is what you should wear, this is what you should wear, this is what the cool kids are wearing, you know? And so people get those messages from their mothers, they get them from their other family members, they get them from magazines, and sorting through all that stuff and figuring out, like, wait, do I actually like to wear red, or have I just been told that looks good with my coloring? Or do I actually like to wear full skirts, or have I just been told that fits my pear shape best? Those are things that I like to like push clients past thinking about, and just really going internally again, just finding kind of that internal motivation. So it's not uncommon for you to have done that. And also it's a constant process. I think throughout our lives as women, our bodies change, our lifestyles change, and those things do need to kind of be reevaluated every few years. And once people just don't want to give the thought to it, which I completely understand. But I think one of the nice things about minimalism, and I think that you've probably discovered as well, is that it takes a little bit of investment up front, you know? And so you spend some time investing in learning these things about yourself. And then your daily life is a lot easier after you do that. So maybe you spend a weekend really working through some of these thoughts, and then you know what you need from that point on, and you can implement it. And then in the morning, you have 5 minutes. That's all you need to get dressed. So it's a bit of a counterintuitive thing that people aren't really ready to kind of put the time into thinking about sometimes.
Absolutely. And something that you touched on that I think is so true is how deeply personal our clothing really is. And for whatever reason, I think a lot of it is those external pressures or external influences that you were mentioning. People don't really take the time to consider how personal their clothing is, you know? And so I think that's, like you said, it's hard for people to really invest financially in fewer pieces because, exactly like you said, it takes a lot more effort, it takes a lot more thought, and it takes some hard work to figure out, honestly, what your life is and what you need to live it out the best way you can.
Yeah, it's really true. I mean, and that's kind of the idea behind the name of my business, Mindful Closet, and kind of this philosophy that I really like to push on people, which is of mindful consumption, is that you're right. It does. It takes more time and it takes more thought, and you have to be more intentional with it. But in the end, you're going to waste less resources. You're going to waste less money. You will feel more yourself at the end of the day. And then there are also ways, I just want to kind of pick up on what you said a little bit about, you know, like financially, it's hard to invest in a wardrobe sometimes. And, you know, I think that is a constant process as well. I do think that most people go through different styles as they're trying them out, you know, over the course of their life. And so maybe you don't invest right away, you know, maybe you're kind of trying out a boho look or a super preppy look, and you do that either with cheaper versions of things or maybe secondhand versions. And then as you work through those things and feel whether they're right for you or not, you start to get led to what is right for you. And at that point, then you can feel more confident spending more on something that you really, through experience, have learned that you will wear often and get the use out of it that the financial investment kind of requires.
I love that. That is a really good way to look at it. I'm always saying this too, you know, it doesn't all have to happen at once. I'm the kind of person that I just decide something and I want it to happen, and I, you know, don't want to put in the work, and I don't want to be patient. I just want to get where I want to be, which I think is so common for, you know, just humans to feel that way. But like you mentioned, it doesn't need to be perfect. You can try things on, and doing that secondhand, especially, I think is a great way to do that with, you know, without wasting.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to know that that's normal, you know, just to know that, again, just like you don't need to know exactly what you're going to do for your work as soon as you graduate college, just knowing that you are exploring and figuring things out, gives you a little bit of freedom to not feel so much pressure to find the perfect things right away.
Mm-hmm. A question that I was wondering, mostly because I've seen some people in my own life struggling with this in regard to their wardrobe, is how do you approach with your clients the idea of body image and hanging on to clothing that might be too small or might not fit right now because for whatever season in their life, they're not the size they want to be, but they know they can get back to it, so they hang on to these clothes. What do you think?
Yeah, I have some pretty strong opinions about that. So I really feel like part of the work I do with people, again, is first, you know, one of the first things is defining their aesthetic style. Another thing is being really honest with themselves about their lifestyle. And I've already spoken about those two things. But then the other third part of that is to be in a place of, I don't know if acceptance is the right word, but just be in a place of honesty with yourself about where you are right now. Because the worst possible thing is for you to be in a place where you're not happy in your body and none of your clothes fit, because that is going to make you feel horrible all day. It's going to make getting dressed a horribly stressful, traumatic event every morning. And I really believe that if you have that morning setup of this bad juju, then you're not going to be able to accomplish the things that you want to maybe to get you to that healthy place, or, you know, to just get you in the right mindset to be thinking positively. So, and the other big thing is that as women, we are not open sometimes to acknowledging and accepting. I think this is a true place of acceptance that our bodies will change over the course of our lives. And that is human and it's biologically normal. And we cannot expect ourselves to stay the same size for our whole life. I mean, our bodies, they change and they grow, and it's because we are created to give birth to other humans. And you know, these things just happen to our bodies no matter how hard you work. So I have had clients who were, no joke, you know, 70, 80 years old, still lamenting that they're not the same size that they were when they were 20, when they got married. And I just think, what a waste of energy. That's so sad. You know, like, you are a beautiful woman here, but you're spending time and energy, you know, worrying about something that is just not physically possible anymore. So that's a little bit of a rant. But so basically my philosophy about that with clothes in your closet is that you only should have clothes in your closet that fit you today. So if you have things that don't fit, either because you're hoping to get to another size, you know, some people hold on to things in case they go back to a bigger size, those things should not be staring you in the face every day. And so the things that you should have hanging in your closet are things that you could go to in the morning, pull something off the hanger without even looking, and know that it fits. If you don't have any of those pieces, then there's a problem. You have to have clothes that fit. I don't care if you are planning to lose 20 pounds this month, you know, whatever stage you're in. I call this transitional phases of women's lives, because it's not just being healthier or gaining or losing weight. It's about, trying to get pregnant or being pregnant. And after you have a baby, how much, you know, your body changes. And so I really feel strongly that in transitional phases, you have to have clothes that fit. And sometimes you have to buy things that may not meet your high ethical standards. I'm kind of in a phase, I'm 7 months pregnant right now, actually. And so I'm kind of in a phase right now where, you know, I need clothes that fit tomorrow. And for as much as I support ethical clothing the rest of the time in my life, unfortunately, sometimes there are just times when you need something now, and otherwise you're going to feel really awful. And so, you know, you do the best you can all the time. You can't be perfect. You can try your best. I've gotten a lot of maternity clothes secondhand, and I have ordered some from ethical manufacturers, but I have some fast fashion pieces in there too, because it's really hot and I need something that fits over my huge belly and doesn't make me sweat. So, I'm sorry. That was a long rambling answer to your question, but I think it's really important that, first of all, women accept where they are in their lives, accept that their bodies are going to change, and then make sure they have clothes that fit for where they are in their life.
Yes, I actually love everything that you just said, and just speaking about the different seasons that you will be in your life. And congratulations on being pregnant, by the way. That's awesome. And I think that that is so wise of you to just accept that you are in a season where you're not going to be, it's just not practical to buy every single maternity outfit, you know, really ethically, because you just can't do it. And I think, as you mentioned earlier about wasting energy on things, that would just be honestly a waste of energy that could be put towards, you know, getting ready for your new baby and managing your family the best you can and feeling good, you know, with your pregnant body. And I think that I'm not pregnant, but I'm in a position where my husband and I just bought a house. And so completely different transition, but I can relate to your situation and the fact that I'm not able to prepare meals like I want to right now. And I'm not able to, you know, do all the low waste kitchen things that I've been hoping to switch to, because that's just not where we are right now. I need a little bit more time to just unpack, unfold, you know, see what this next season is going to look like. And then I can start implementing some of those things down the road a little bit.
Absolutely.
And then one more thing that I wanted to touch on as far as our possessions, and especially this happens in clothing, is the guilt associated with all of our stuff. So you were touching on before different things that influence your style. And my mom was huge about influencing my style. You know, clothing was somewhere that we really bonded. And so now to get rid of some of those things that she had given me or we'd purchased together, that was a hard thing for me. And I know that people face all different sorts of guilt for different reasons when they're letting go of pieces.
Yeah, there's so much guilt involved. And again, that's something that's a big part of what I do. You know, more than just saying, here's the right, you know, clothing item for your body type, is really working through these emotional issues. And guilt is a huge one. And I've been there. I've felt it. There's guilt around having spent the money. There's guilt around letting go of things that haven't been used. There's guilt around gifts. So yeah, those are all huge issues in terms of, in particular gifts or pieces that might have special meaning because of a connection with a family member or something. I like to take Marie Kondo's philosophy. If you're not familiar with her, if the listeners aren't familiar with her, she wrote The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And in her mind, the act of giving the gift, and in the act of giving the gift, the purpose has been served. So you had those great experiences with your mom. Those don't go away if you get rid of that piece of clothing. That was the purpose of that. It was for you to have that experience. If she bought you something that she felt would be great for you and you accepted it gratefully, and she got to, you know, give you that gift, that was the purpose of that. What happens after it, after that point, is no longer as important. And so for me, I taught people years ago never to buy me clothing because I was so picky. And so I accept a lot of gift cards for gifts, but especially if something has been given to me, there's a little bit of guilt still involved, but I also feel that people really don't want you to have something that you're not going to use. I mean, if your mom knew that you felt that you only wore that thing because you felt bad about hurting her feelings, would she really want you to wear it? I don't think so. And so for me, I really just try and remind people that that is, that giving that gift made that person happy. What happens beyond that point is not so necessary to worry about. And if you can let that thing go, it's going to make your daily life easier. Every one of those pieces is just staring you in the face and making you feel bad whenever you open your closet. And honestly, that's the goal, is to get rid of anything that makes you feel bad when you open your closet. So it can be tough, but I think you can work through it and let it go. And remember that it could have a better home with someone else too.
Yes, those are all such great points. And I just think you're right on, you know, that's the whole idea of gifting. And it's not just about the receiver, it's about the sender too. You know, when I would rather give gifts than receive them. And obviously I try to give gifts that I think people will enjoy, but maybe they did enjoy it for a year or two and then they moved on from it. And like you said, first of all, as the giver of the gift, I'll probably not even know that they've moved on. And you're absolutely right. I was happy because I felt like I was serving them when I gave them that gift. And they also felt served by me when they received it, whether or not it was exactly on point for what fits in their life at this point in time is kind of neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, and just kind of on that, this is a little bit off track, but kind of on that same thought, is when you come to those realizations about those pieces, try and let them go as quickly as possible. I always encourage people to keep a basket or a box in their closet for things that they just realized, like, hey, you know what? I actually never want to wear that. Every time I pass through that in the closet, it never jumps out at me as something I want to wear. Take it literally off the hanger that minute and drop it in your donation box. And kind of the same with gifts. I mean, the gift, again, it can be appreciated, and perhaps you feel so compelled by gratitude to give that item a try. And if you give that item a try and it doesn't work for you, just throw it right in that basket. You know, it's a good way to just kind of prevent yourself from having to do these massive edits, that can be really draining.
Yes. And you just reminded me, because we're unpacking now, my husband is someone who's so simple. He doesn't wear very many clothes, but he has all of these clothes. And I didn't even realize it until we're unpacking all these clothes. And I was like, Joe, if you don't wear that, like, let's just start a box, you know, let's just start a box and we can donate it. And he was like, you know, no, my grandma gave me this, or this person gave me this. Like, I don't want their money to be wasted or something.
Mm. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because again, that was one of the big things that people feel guilt about is having wasted money. But the problem is that money is gone. By your husband holding on to those articles of clothing, it doesn't mean his grandma gets her money back. You know, that money has been spent. In business, it's called a sunk cost. It's already gone. You have to only think from the future, from the present, you know, moving on into the future, how worthwhile that piece is going to be. And if it is sitting somewhere in someone's home and not being used, it has absolutely no value. If you do donate it and someone else can use it, then it has some value. But you know, no matter if you spent hundreds of dollars on something and didn't use it, by holding on to it, you don't get that money back. All you get is the negative associations with it. So it's hard. It's hard to do, but it's really better to try and let go.
Yes, I agree. I'm going to make him listen to this episode.
Great.
And I know he'll come around, but it is completely a switch in your mindset. And I just love everything that you have to say about it.
Oh, thanks so much, Meg.
So if people are also interested in learning a little bit more about your philosophy and just following you online, where can they find you?
Sure. So my website is mindfulcloset.com. And one of the headings right at the top is information about the Making Space course. So if any of this has intrigued you and you want to work through it on your own, that's a real easy way to do it. There's also a great travel packing worksheet that you can download right now, since many people also overpack and, you know, come home and say, why did I bring all this stuff with me? Mm-hmm. So mindfulcloset.com is my website, and then I'm mindfulcloset on Instagram, and that's where I'm most active on social media.
Great. Well, I can't wait for people to check you out and learn more. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me, Meg.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Lived In podcast. Dive into show notes for this episode and all past episodes at simplylivedinpodcast.com. If you love the show, please share with your friends. Help us to spread the power of simplicity. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep up your quest